In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, I'd like to read to you this morning, verse 18 through verse 23, and pray that you might receive something from this. I know I certainly did. Jeremiah said, "Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they've digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows. Let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses, when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown from thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger." Fire and brimstone preaching. It's unimaginable that a preacher or a prophet of God would stand in a pulpit or speak to God in such a manner today. Why, I don't know. When a man will get truthful with God, today this man of God, this great prophet, he would suffer the same fate today if he were to preach such a thing. They'd cry out hate. Why, that's hate speech. You can't speak that. We have it in every society. There's words you can't speak. And I'm not talking about curse or vulgar words. And nor would such be allowed in the so-called churches that you couldn't preach. I know this from experience. You can't preach that in a church today. They won't have it. I love the honesty of Jeremiah. I mean, he is just so pure and honest in his speech. The pure, simple honesty. Did not even David declare, he told God, he said, "I hate them that hate thee, O Lord." You know, if we'd be honest, if someone hated a member of our family or our child or someone hated our husband or our wife, now, you can be religious, but wouldn't you? Man, I hate them. They hate my wife. But you see, we won't be honest. Today, it's all white sepulchers. I like those words that the Lord used in the New Testament. We've created a world of white sepulchers. Everything's a white sepulcher. I'm in sales and marketing, and everything's a white sepulcher. It must look just, even if it's not that way, it must be perceived that way. A facade of the true, a facade of the real, a white sepulcher. I often tell folks, it's so simple, and I don't know why people don't understand. I'm neither. They say, "Well, you're always so, I'm not negative, nor am I positive. I am what I am." You know, if it's a hard day, well, it's a hard day. If it's a good day, it's a good day. I don't know about you. I have bad days and I have good days. But men today, they avoid truth at all costs. So they can build up a facade of, you might say, pseudo appearances. We want it to appear such. Everything has to appear just such. Preach to us smooth things, that's what they said. Preach to us deceits. Tell us lies. Don't tell us the truth. Make us feel good. Everything about life today is make us feel. That's why we have drugs. That's why we have pleasures. That's why we have hobbies. And and all sorts of pursuits. And when we speak, well, say something that would make me feel good. You see, man, and we've known this in marketing, people don't buy the steak, they buy the sizzle. And it's the sizzle that people want. And then they get that new car home and it's, well, wow, it doesn't seem as sizzly as it did when the showroom, you see. And that's why people are always purchasing new homes and new automobiles and the latest of everything. The latest styles. Think about it. And anybody who says anything against the narrative, why, they're considered bigots, or they're considered negative, or they're considered anti, if it doesn't go along with the narrative. And that's why they hate Trump. That's why they hate Mr. Trump. That's exactly why they hate Mr. Trump. Think about it. He really hadn't done anything in 4 years. He hadn't been able to. They won't let him. But as far as legislation, he really hasn't done anything. But he denies the narrative. That's it. He hadn't done anything to hurt it. Matter of fact, he's done more for the minorities. But they hate him because he denies the narrative. This is our narrative. This Bible. And as in Jeremiah's, as in faithful pastors today even, as in any truth, they'll always stop their ears and gnash with their teeth. That's what they did to Stephen. That's why they stoned him. That's why they tried to stone Paul. That's why they tried to stone our Lord. They weren't radicals. They just didn't have the same narrative, and they weren't whited sepulchers, you see. And people must do this. Now, this is the key. Because they love darkness. If there's one verse in all the Bible that could, you say, explain the gospel, I'd go to John chapter 3, and not perhaps where you think. The world, the modern, they go to John chapter 3, they go to verse 16. But I go down a few verses, okay? I go down to verse 19. We all know why the lost man on the street knows John 3:16. But here it is in John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Is that not it? You want the gospel? You want the truth? That's it right there. Everything. You pull up the news, any news story this morning, you turn on the radio, turn on the television, even go to church, sadly, and that's the way it is right there. Men love darkness rather than light. I had a man tell me this week, I'd rather play golf than go to church. He believed there was more truth on the golf course. Well, there may be, I don't know, in some, most churches, but he said, I'd rather play golf than go to church. Do you know why that is? Do you know why a man would rather go fishing or go play golf than go to church? Or just lay up in the bed or just stay home? We just read it. They love darkness more than light. Where are they today at this hour? Where are they? They're certainly not with us. Now, do you know why we're here? I mean, I'm being truthful as Jeremiah. Because we love light rather than darkness. Do you see? And this one verse explains so much of the world right here. If you'll just think about John 3:19, whatever crosses your path in the daily, and you're walking, you read, it's gotten to where my wife, she won't even look. She's so despondent over the news. Well, just remember, honey, they love darkness. What else? They're doing what they love. God so loved the world, John 3:16. Now this is where men go south or get sideways off Barrett. Not everyone in the world, God so, it means he loved the world. This is the manner in which he loved the world. And you might say that when Christ was crucified, and I thought about this much because of I've always got time, and we're time bound beings, and so I try to justify things with times. In that sense, perhaps I'm dispensational, but you might say that when Christ was crucified, God once again separated the light from the darkness. Right there, the veil was rent. And he separated it. He separated the truth from a lie. And we know that the serpent, we know that Satan is the father of lies. And God's the father of light. He is the light. He did right there in a moment of time in Calvary. He separated the light from the darkness. But they didn't want that man to rule over them. They don't want the light to rule over them. You see, to this day they don't. Barabbas is roaming the streets of America. Look at him, man. He's throwing concrete and he's doing, I read last night, and they're throwing bricks. Barabbas is roaming the streets of America. They let a guy out of jail and he goes and murders the woman that accused him of rape to put him in jail. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. The streets of America today are filled with Barabbas, murderers, thieves, and the like. Barabbas is a free man. And the same cry is towards Trump. We won't have this man to rule over. Or any faithful purveyor of the truth, a faithful pastor. We will not have this man rule over us. That's what most wives say concerning husbands. So Jeremiah says, fine, I'll give you this sweet little prayer. Okay, fine. You don't want the light? I've given it to you. You won't receive it. You love darkness. He said, Lord, deliver up their children to the famine. Do you understand that? Starve their children to death. Pour out their blood by the force of the sword. That's what he said. Did you see it? Let their wives be bereaved of their children, and let them be made widows, Lord. Let the men be put to death and the young men slain by the sword in battle. That's going on in our country right now. We still got boys over there. Iraq and different places. And Jeremiah says, let a cry be heard from their houses, and the troop comes suddenly upon them. Okay, you won't listen? Here it is. And then Jeremiah says these damning words towards these people that wouldn't receive the light. I don't know what else you could say of more force. He said, forgive not their iniquities. Do not, Lord, forgive their sins, nor blot their sin from thy sight. Don't you forget them, Lord. Let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger, Lord. You ever hear anything like that? That's not the love, church, that's propagated today, the white sepulcher. Lord, have mercy, but he will not. Today, the false prophets have used the New Testament and Christ himself to throw water on this. They'll all of a sudden go, okay, well, wait a minute. We go over here and we've got a New Testament, a new will, and all that's gone. I guess they never read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. That's New Testament in my Bible. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They know not this Lord. Is God love? Yeah, if you're in the light. Not so if you're in darkness. This Christ, this King, they know not. The Apostle Paul, who prayed concerning Alexander the coppersmith, and I've prayed this prayer towards a few people in my life, and I knew the graveness of it when I did it. That's why I've only done it a few times. He said, Lord, reward him according to his deeds. You think about such a prayer. I'm glad the Lord didn't reward me according to my deeds, but brought me out of darkness into the glorious light and lifted me from the mire. You see. They've branded me with hate speech for years before it was even a word. When I started preaching and all I preached was truth, I wasn't smart enough to preach anything but truth. As Paul said, then he was a very intelligent man. He said, just to know Christ crucified, and they branded me from the beginning a hate speech. The prophet who won't tell us good things. But I speak the truth, I lie not. I saw the venom even of some I know this very week. Do you know what I saw their venom over? I went into an establishment and a mask. I don't wear a mask. And everyone asked, where's your mask? Now, if this was August of 2019 and one person had a mask, you go, are you sick? But you see how quickly it comes. Where's your mask? And I believe that's but a small foreboding of what's yet to come. I think that's just a little insight, you see. I've read 1984. If you haven't read it, it's almost unbelievable in its reading. And yet here we are. I've read 1984 and I've read the King James Bible. There'll be no rapture. There will be torment. There will be wailing. There will be gnashing of teeth. And they'll cry for death. It says in the book of Matthew. They'll cry for death. They'll cry out for the rocks to fall upon them. They'll see death as mercy. And so I ask, where are you? I believe there's so many religious, they're hiding in the garden as Adam. Are you in the glorious light? Come to the light. Let us be Christian soldiers, carrying the royal banner. Let us gird our loins like men and stand up for the light and stand up for truth. As the leper said, if they kill us, we'll just die. Well, I'm passing through. I'll get there. I'm on this journey. I'm on this pilgrimage. I was reading a book this week about the pilgrims and how the one thing that was always about the pilgrims is they were always on a journey. Their whole life was a journey. And I fear that too many of us are standing still. And let us declare as Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He is truly my rock and my shield. I'd like to close with a couple psalms this morning. If you turn to the very, very first psalm, I remember my very first church, and I'd give out a New King James Bible to the young people that would learn to recite the first psalm. I wonder about those young people today, but the Lord knows. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight's in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Amen. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." God said it right there. Don't even pray for them. You heard the prayer that Jeremiah prayed for them. And then finally, of course, there's many more, but if you look at the 7 verses of the 11th Psalm, he said, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." I don't think you could draw a finer line between, you might say, the have and the have-nots. Those that have the light between those that are yet in darkness. Have you ever just gotten on your knees, cried out, "Give heed to me, O Lord. Listen to me. God, listen to me. They seek my soul. They trouble me day and night." And Jeremiah did. They call him the weeping prophet, the lamentation of the cryings of Jeremiah. He could see a society, if you study Bible history, that was a parallel to ours today. And he said, They're coming, boys. And they put him in the pit. They put him in the mire. I don't need to get my sword. May have to. Just pray this prayer of Jeremiah. I'm pretty sure that'll take care of business. So when you look at the gospel, yeah, there is a bright. You say, what's the bright side of that? Being in the light. I'm on this side. Being a child of God, chosen of God, being in Christ for the foundation of the earth. You say, how do you know you're in the light? Because I was in darkness. You see, that's the problem. I was in darkness. Well, I know the light because it's different than that darkness. And I'm crucified with Christ. That was the other word I was going to. I'm crucified with Christ. It's finished. So we do have a blessed hope. And we can pray these. It's not hate. Listen, these people, God's sending these people to hell. He's coming back in flaming fire. This, every time I on the radio and this song will start to come on, give peace a chance. Yeah, okay. There never shall be peace, the Bible states. Not in this lifetime, not in this earth. You see? Imagine a world no heaven. That's what they really want, a world with no heaven, no hell. No light, no darkness. No right, no wrong. No male, no female. You see, they take the very verse and they use it like they use John 3:16 and they use the verse in Galatians and they use it. I can take any verse in this Bible like the devil and use it as he did on our very Lord in the temptation. Give heed to me, O Lord.